So let's take a few minutes and move into meditation. I'll just invite you to close your eyes, and if you're holding anything, I invite you to put it down, just so you can just focus not on holding that, but on moving deep within. And if you're new to meditation, it's nothing more than getting quiet and turning inward and experiencing that inner world of light and love and divinity. And so we breathe. We just breathe. It's the most basic, most fundamental thing we do. When we are stressed, we return to the breath. In times of loneliness, we return to that conscious focus on breathing. And even when we're feeling spiritually empty, when we're feeling hollow, we start with the breath. We breathe in, and the very motion of the breath, the activity of the breath just reminds us. That we are an expression of something. Our consciousness that's so busy, our ego that is so busy, is in a desperate search for what that something is that we are expressing. And here's what's true. I am. That is the truth of us. I am. I move on the leading edge of thought. I am breath, I am spirit, expressing. I am. And that's the mystery. That's the truth that we may have denied for years and years. And yet there it is, right there, the truth. I am. I am. So let's take a moment and let's just take that into deep consciousness. Let's just rest with it in the silence. I am. Whatever God is, it is the Spirit of God. It is the light of God that surrounds us, moves through us. It is that in which we have our very being. It's that which tells us that I am. And so we say thank you, God. We say thank you for this knowing. Thank you for this hint of awareness. And so it is. Amen.
Good to have you back. Oh. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Throughout this summer, yay. Whenever I've been speaking, we have been exploring a series based on Paul Farini's book, Enlightenment for Everyone. Enlightenment for you, and you, and you, for everybody. It's for all of us. And today is the fifth and final week of that exploration. And so far on this journey, we have looked at how, when we seek within ourselves for the light that is within our own hearts, we begin to see it out there, shining back at us. But we have to look here first. Look within ourselves. And we've examined the importance of being present, being really here, feeling our aliveness, being so in love with this moment that there's nowhere else we'd rather be. Are you all there now?
Yes.
Yes. We've talked about masks, wearing these masks, and that removing those masks is really about removing the blocks, removing the beliefs that are getting in the way of us expressing who we really are at the core of our being. And all of these facets, all of these pieces contribute to this experience of awakening, which is what enlightenment is. It's awakening to a deeper dimension within us, to the higher self that is always within our own hearts, just waiting for expression. And that's what healing is, true healing. True healing means that we connect with the wholeness that we already are and allow it to be expressed. And my talk title this morning is, I went backwards, and now it's not moving. All right. Wait a minute, you know what? Am I on? Hold on. Ah, that's why. It's turn on the power. Turn on the power. Thank you. You notice Gary's not here, and Gary's usually my techie guy, and he is in San Diego. Actually, he's on a plane back now. He's been in San Diego this weekend, and he always frets on my behalf when I'm going to be using technology, and he's not here. And he counsels me. He says, don't forget the power cord. And I go, you know, like I'd do that. Well, I have done that before, so he's right. But anyway, thank you, Sean, for stepping in there. Appreciate that. So now my talk title is The Heart of Healing. And last Sunday, if you were here, you heard one of our YOU graduates, Emily Michaels, tell her healing story. How many of you were here to hear that? Wasn't she amazing? If you weren't here, I highly recommend going to the website and listening to her talk, because you will hear the deep wisdom of one of our young people and how she is putting spiritual principle into practice and really making a difference in her own world, in her life. And so this morning we want to take a closer look at this phenomenon of healing. What exactly is healing? And you know, there's many levels of healing. There's physical healing, there's emotional healing, there's mental healing, there's spiritual healing. And it has to happen, we want to look at it holistically on all levels. And so what do our principles teach us about it? Well, you know, this movement is based on healing. Myrtle Fillmore, one of Unity's co-founders, was diagnosed with tuberculosis at a very young age and was sickly her whole life. And she was told, she was given 6 months to live and told to go home and get her affairs in order. And at that time, she went to hear a speaker, a New Thought speaker named E.B. Weeks, and heard these words. I'm a child of God and do not inherit sickness. I'm a child of God and do not inherit sickness. And you know what? Those words landed for her. She got it. They really made an impression, and she got so excited about that, she began in earnest to spend time in prayer, apologizing to every cell in her body for ever believing it was anything less than whole, and blessing her body with wholeness. Now, it took 2 years, but she was completely healed of tuberculosis, which at that time was a death sentence. You know what? She literally loved herself back to wholeness. That's the way I think of it. She loved herself back to wholeness. Now, in unity, we can sometimes be guilty of what is known as metaphysical malpractice. And what that means is that when we have an illness of some kind, we add guilt to the problem by blaming ourselves for creating this illness. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Sometimes unity people think it's shameful to be ill. My best friend in ministerial school had cancer, breast cancer, and she died from cancer about 5 years into her ministry. And besides all of the anguish that she went through as this disease progressed, she also was mentally berating herself and filled with guilt, thinking she had let her congregation down. We don't know the reason why some people are cured and others are not. Healing doesn't always look the way we think it ought to. Doesn't always look the way we think it is. And you heard last week when Emily told her story that she was not completely cured from the fibromyalgia that she has, greatly improved, but she was healed. She was healed. And the healing happened because it brought forth a deeper gratitude, a deeper self-compassion that was a result of her having the illness, and that was the real healing. My mother had breast cancer, and although she ultimately died from it, she told me one day that the real healing was not about a cure. It was about this deepening of gratitude that she had discovered for each and every day of her life. It was for her being present in every single day and valuing that. And above all, it was about learning to love herself. So we never know what healing looks like. Now, metaphysical malpractice has been around for a while. There's a story in the book of John about a man who's born blind. And the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he is born blind? Metaphysical malpractice. I mean, even back then they were blaming parents, right? This must be my mother's fault. It's got to be. Now, the question is curious because it sort of gives the idea that they are imagining that there is some kind of prior existence that this man had that he would have been able to do the sinning in order to be born blind. And there are those who point to this passage as indicating a belief in reincarnation. But Jesus' answer is brilliant, as always. He says, neither, but that the glory of God is made manifest. Neither. It's about the glory of God being made manifest. That's the key to healing, you see? It's not about blame. It's not about self-blame. Because we can get into self-blame, can't we? We might just start looking for, what is it in my consciousness that drew this to me? Anybody? Can we agree not to do that to ourselves? To get beyond it, because it's not helpful, is it? Now, the question, what can I do about it? How can I experience more spirit, more of who I am through this illness? That's a much more helpful question. And that has the potential for transformation. And it doesn't mean that we don't try to change any limiting beliefs or any behaviors that may be contributing to the illness, certainly. Certainly we can. Myrtle Fillmore shifted her belief from having this sickly life that was leading her to an early death to one of complete wholeness. So there are things we want to transform. But there's a world of difference between blame and responsibility, We want to take responsibility for dealing with the condition, but let go of the blame and the shame. And our greatest responsibility is to love ourselves through the experience. Do you see it? It really is. But here's something we want to get about healing. It's a teaching that Michael Beckwith has shared. We cannot make it happen. We can only make it welcome. We can say that about the spiritual journey, about expressing God. We can't make it happen. We can only make it welcome. We can't force healing. We can only create the environment that beckons it in a welcome way. Do you see the difference? And that, in essence, is what Myrtle did. Now, in the book of John, there's another story that illustrates some powerful facets in the healing journey. In Jerusalem, there was a pool called Bethesda, and people with healing needs were drawn to these waters. And one man was lying there who had been ill for 38 years. And Jesus sees him lying there, and he says, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man answers, "Nobody will help me get in the water." I'm paraphrasing here. "Nobody will help me get in the water when it's stirred up. Somebody always gets in first." And here we have actual cell phone footage of that moment. And then Jesus says, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." What about this pool actually was making people well? From here, reading this story, we wouldn't know. But there's a missing verse in this story. And you find it at the bottom of the page as like a footnote. Only the King James Version actually has this verse in it. And the verse says, "From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters, and the first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had." So an angel would come and stir up the waters. Now, it's considered that this was a medicinal pool located in Jerusalem, and in fact, excavators believe they've actually found this pool. It was a mineral pool. How did it get stirred up? Well, no one's really sure. But there's conjecture that there was a natural spring below, and that the current from that would stir the waters and bring forth more minerals with it, and the people that got in first would get in and soak up all those minerals, you see, and they would heal. But let's look at this story metaphysically. What does it mean to me? What's the underlying meaning for healing for me to take away? Well, first of all, there's a guy there lying. He's been lying there unable to walk or stand for 38 years. Now, in scripture, metaphysically, numbers, you know, have some meaning. 40 years. We hear a lot about 40 days, 40 nights, 40 years. And metaphysically, that means, anybody know? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. So, you know, the Israelites wandered for 40 years in the desert. We wander in the wilderness of our own stuff for as long as it takes us to get out. That's basically metaphysically what it means. So 38 years, that's pretty close to being as long as it takes. He's almost there, do you see? 38 years, he's almost there. And then Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" Does he say yes? He says, "Yeah, but." "Yeah, but nobody will put me in the water. By the time I get in there on my own, the water's not stirred up anymore." "Yeah, but." So I invite you to think of a condition in your life that you would want to be healed. It might be a physical ailment you've been struggling with. It could be an emotional issue. It could be mental. It could be a situation in your life, maybe lack or a relationship, whatever it is. Just imagine you've been sitting by the pool waiting to be healed for 38 years. Time's almost there. And then this question comes, this question we need to answer is, do you want to be made well? I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. Of course we do, right? That's the answer. Or are there some yeah buts? "Yeah, but I've tried so many things, nothing helps." "Yeah, but you don't know how long I've been overweight, how many years. Do you realize how much it costs to get this looked at? I don't have that kind of money." "Yeah, but there's no cure for this." Do you hear what I'm saying? All those yeah buts, they're limiting beliefs. and they're fear-based. You know, I've been asked, when Gary got his cancer diagnosis, how did you stop from going to fear? And the answer, I didn't. Are you kidding me? I went directly to fear. I started awfulizing. I started worrying. I started making up stories in my head. I started worrying about my husband. I don't want anything to happen to you. What about our future together? What about all those dreams we had? What about the church? What are we going to do? On and on and on. And were all those fear thoughts saying that I didn't want him to be healed or that I didn't believe he could be healed? No. But I had to look at this. Where was I putting my faith? Was I putting it in the illness or was I putting it in the healing power within him? You see? I really had to look at that and to realize that that's not what he needed. He didn't need me to be in this place of doubt and worry. He needed me right there by his side, holding that vision with him. He needed me to give a radical yes. Not a wishy-washy one, a radical yes. Saying yes to a deeper realization of the wholeness that lives within all of us. That divine blueprint. It's there. It's there within all of us. Do you feel it? And we have to start listening to that. Listening within. Listening for guidance. Stop listening to what the world's telling us. Listen to what Spirit's telling us. Because metaphysically, angels represent that. They represent intuitive guidance from the Spirit within. Telling us the truth. We're whole. An illness is a wake-up call for us to remember that. Water symbolizes a cleansing. It's a cleansing of the mind. It's a cleansing of misperception. A shift from seeing that some external force out there is keeping us from our healing and moving us to look within. A cleansing and a freedom from all of the yeah buts. Now, you'll notice in this story, the man didn't even have to enter the pool to be healed. He just had to recognize the Christ. Do you see the metaphysics in that? The whole point of being in the pool is to cleanse us from that misperception and to realize we're already whole, to be able to see the Christ presence that lives within us, to acknowledge that higher self, to listen, to take the steps we're guided to do that. And then when we do that, those fearful thoughts, the doubts, the yeah buts, they melt away. And we understand the power that lives within us. I read the wonderful true story about a young girl in Chicken Soup for the Soul. 11-year-old Angela was stricken with a debilitating disease involving her nervous system, and she was unable to walk. And doctors didn't hold out much hope for Angela. But that didn't stop her. Lying in her hospital bed, she would vow to whoever would listen that she was definitely going to be walking again someday. And she was transferred to a specialized rehabilitation hospital, and the therapists there were so inspired by her spirit. And so they taught her about imaging, about going within, seeing herself walking, and she started to practice that. Now, she worked hard in physical therapy, in the whirlpools, in the exercise sessions, but then she would lie there faithfully doing her imaging, visualizing herself moving again, moving, moving, moving. And one day, as she imagined herself moving, the bed started to move. And she screamed, "Look what I'm doing! I'm moving the bed!" However, everyone else was screaming and running for cover, and equipment was falling, and glass was breaking because it was an earthquake. But don't tell her that. She had that inner knowing of the power within. She welcomed the healing as she said a radical yes. And when we align ourselves with the presence and the power of God, we open up to all the good. But first, we deny the appearances and we say yes to the healing. And whether that healing is in the arena of our bodies, our emotions, our mind, prosperity, jobs, relationships, whatever is in need of healing in your life, the answer is the same, a radical yes. And an understanding of who we really are. And it's about meeting life, being present as the wholeness that we already are, not as the limited egoic self that we've bought into, but as the reality of God actualized. I love that. Wherever you stand, source and cause is meeting. Do you feel the power of that? There's a radical yes in this room. I'm loving it. Now, Jesus did not toss that bed. He didn't say toss it, did he? He said, pick it up. Bring it with you. Because that which we look at in our lives as our greatest challenge is part of the healing process. Do you see? The very thing that we think is holding us back, our bed, our mat, we need to pick it up and move it forward. Use that thorn in your side in order to find the spirit in your heart. Discover your strength. Discover your wholeness by picking it up and using it. Myrtle Fillmore learned that truth. Gary learned it. My mom learned it. So I invite all of us to look at those places in our lives that need healing. Begin to love ourselves back to that place of wholeness, the awareness that we're already whole because we're already it. It's only our misperception that keeps us from experiencing it. So, are you ready to take up your mat and walk?
Yes!
Are you ready to welcome your healing?
Yes!
All right, when I count to three, we'll do one more radical yes. You ready? One, two, three. Yes! Ooh. And so it is. Whoa.